are so mad about it.
We are like minutes away, minutes away from Hulk Hogan, Dana White, and Donald J.
All right, so who do they want to run against? Let's talk about that.
This spirit that this guy has, you guys think this guy, he's drunk? He's not. This whole thing is like this. And it's guys, the last time I was in a convention that felt like this was Obama 2008.
Yeah, you know,
there's something happening where...
You just wrote a headline, by the way.
What's that?
You just wrote a headline, but
just like Obama, Trump is showing in this convention he has the capacity to alter the composition of the electorate. That is
the difference between 2008 and now is that Obama was actually popular outside of his own party.
But what happened last week when they took a shot at my hero? And they tried to kill the next president of the United States. Enough was enough. And I said, let Trumpomania run wild, brother. Let Trumpomania rule again. Let Trumpomania make America great again.
Well, that wraps up the 2024 Republican National Convention. Welcome to the Millstone Report. My name is Paul Harrell. The Italian opera there at the end, from a musical standpoint at least, the song Nessun Dorma, was my favorite part. It certainly beat the Boomer cover band we all had to listen to if you were watching just the live feed. But fine arts aside, the convention ended on a high note, literally. Some are saying it was a display of unity. And if that's true, the unity was entirely due to what we all witnessed on Saturday in Butler, Pennsylvania. For all of the imperfections of the GOP, for all of the times it feels like the top of the party is allergic to their Christian base, for all of the times we have to cringe as we watch virtue-signaling spectacles like we did Monday with the paganism on display where Harmeet Dillon offered a prayer to a false god, the truth that someone, somebody, or some group would rather Trump be dead than allowed to run in an American election as a candidate for president is startling. At the same time, it's motivating. And it's hard to argue that if the enemy wants Trump dead, then Trump being alive and in office must be really bad for the powers that be, and in turn, I pray, good for the American people. The government's narrative about the shooting continues to fall apart, by the way. Yesterday, Senator Josh Hawley released a letter claiming his office is in contact with whistleblowers from within the government, within our own government, who have come forward to his office claiming that Trump's security detail last weekend were actually not Secret Service agents at all. More on that in a moment, but essentially what this means is that Trump was set up that day. I mean, it's getting harder and harder to believe the 20-year-old crooks could have done this all alone, and some, including myself, are starting to doubt whether he pulled the trigger at all. A new video began circulating yesterday of what appears to be a shadow-like figure on top of the water tower at the venue. Apparently, the man or figure appears right as the shooting starts. And this is why there is at least the appearance of unity, as the RNC concluded last night. I mean, if people in our own government were involved in any way in the attempt on Trump's life, much like they were involved in the assassination of JFK, that is something that has rallied Trump supporters together. It's even rallied some of Donald Trump's detractors together. I mean, we truly live in interesting times. It's a wild time to be alive. But the unity we saw at the convention does not mean we should ignore glaring problems with Trump or the GOP. Now, while I'm certainly glad Trump, we'll get to this in a minute, Trump did give credit to God Almighty for being alive, there are still glaring hypocrisies, just like any of us who have standards are, you know, guilty of being a hypocrite. But there are still glaring hypocrisies that can't be ignored, need to be addressed. As I told you earlier in the week, the Republican Party platform has been stripped of a federal abortion ban, and we don't need to ignore that and how serious that is. It's also been stripped of its opposition to gay marriage, which is also a big deal. Now, there are many reasons for this, potential reasons, but one of the reasons, and we have to say this, one of the reasons that this happened is that some evangelical pastors over the last decade have told their congregations that politics is divisive, unchristian even, and really doesn't matter. It's not a gospel issue, they would say. So, there has been less engagement from Christians directly with the GOP. And so the GOP and the people at the top figure, well, now's the right time to strip Christian goals from the platform. After all, we want to try to win elections. So, yes, I believe you can make the argument that the platform change, in a way, is our fault, or Christians' fault, if you will, for not fighting hard enough, for giving up, or for being led astray, sanitized World Economic Forum talking points. We can get into that whole Rick Warren circa 2008 there here in a minute if we want to. However, there's another way to look at this as well, and this requires a little honesty and self-reflection. Does anyone really believe that the likes of John McCain or Mitt Romney or George H.W. Bush, for that matter, really wanted a federal abortion ban? I mean, if push came to shove, would they really push for it, or would they try to torpedo it or cancel it or put a poison pill in any legislation that actually would ever come forward? Do you really think George W. Bush or McCain or Romney would really be for reversing the Supreme Court decision and go back to the way things were before Obergefell? I don't. I mean, the answer is no. It's clear. And yet it was in the platform for all of these years. So here's a question. Does the new platform today actually reflect the real feelings of the party? Is the new platform actually more honest than the old one? I would say yes. They've dropped the lip service, which is another phrase for the word lie, and they've told us who they really are. The predominant opinion of both Republicans and Democrats is that abortion is really not murder, and God's design for marriage is really just some loose guidelines. Adam and Steve is really not that big of a deal. After all, we have an election to win, and the log cabin Republicans are banging on our door demanding we let them meet the strangers who just arrived at the village. State Senator Dusty Devers from Oklahoma, he put it best when analyzing the situation when he wrote this, and for that, we are going to go to the screen. And here he is. So he writes, Trump, neocons, and the RNC, the removal of Christian morality from the RNC platform this week is a travesty that I fiercely oppose, he writes, but we must be realistic about what the previous platform really was. He says, it was a tool for tricking Christian conservatives into thinking neoconservatives, the previous Republican establishment, were our friends. I think that's exactly right. And it's good to know this. As I said earlier in the week when we were kind of lamenting the paganism on display in some aspects of the GOP, by the way, Franklin Graham, I think, gave an excellent prayer when he prayed over the convention and over Donald Trump. So it's very much a mixed bag when it comes to, you know, on the Christian nationalist front. But it's good to know. It's just good to know where the goalposts are, and it's good to admit what the reality of the situation is. I mean, and instead of just, you know, lying to ourselves and deceiving ourselves about what this is or what this isn't, that's always good moving forward so you can actually get a game plan together, strategize to try to take ground, okay? So he says it was a tool for tricking Christian conservatives. So he goes on. He says, the neocon establishment, which dominated the party ever since George H.W. Bush defeated Pat Buchanan in the 1992 Republican presidential primary, paid lip service to being pro-life and pro-family, but barely lifted a finger to defend pre-born children. They simply didn't have the passion for social issues or the backbone to really take on the left. They fought for nothing and conserved nothing. Their social views merely trailed a few years behind the left's. But they needed Christians in their coalition, so they paid lip service to pro-lifers and allowed for Christianity in the party platform. He goes on, but they never intended to take the bold action that needed taken. Forget abolition bills or human life amendments. Only one pro-life law was passed by the federal government in the 36 years since H.W. Bush became president, despite multiple instances of total GOP control. Even then, it was the partial birth abortion ban of 03, which only prohibited the killing of children outside the womb. Like most others, it was a do-nothing pro-life bill. Any reasonable assessment of the social conservative neoconservative alliance results in the conclusion that Christians were played by neocons who pandered to us for votes but never gave us results. During the time, many churches receded from the moral majority type engagement to build more seeker-sensitive churches that explicitly shun political engagement as divisive and distracting to the work of the gospel. These were all euphemisms to cover the cowardice of these churches as they refused to speak out on important cultural political issues that the Lord speaks plainly about in His Word. The attractional seeker-sensitive church was a perfect fit for the attractional compassionate conservative Republican Party. Out of those two attractional entities came the weak and compromising pro-life establishment organizations. It was a cozy and spineless pro-life, pro-family arrangement that benefited everyone except pre-born children. So when we rightly rebuke the current RNC for conceding on social issues, we should do so under no misconception that the party was previously a stalwart defender of Christian morality. It wasn't. We should do so with zero intention to return to the Christian neocon alliance. We should do so while looking forward to a potentially new Republican Party that has both a backbone and Christian values, which brings us to Donald Trump. He writes, sick of spineless, feckless, family values neocons, Republican voters emphatically handed the reins in 2016 to someone who didn't speak the typical GOP language, but who capitalized on populist energy and offered brash opposition to the left. While Donald Trump has referenced God and Christian morals, one would be hard-pressed to say he has run on a consistent Christian platform or that he is a social conservative. That much has been made increasingly clear, culminating with his recent success in removing Christian values on abortion and marriage from the 2024 RNC platform. However, the populist movement Trump cultivated has led to the rise of right-wingers who are more socially conservative than Trump, who, unlike neocons, actually have some testosterone and backbone. And whether you agree with these names or not, I think he is right here. Men like Ron DeSantis, Josh Hawley, J.D. Vance, and Ken Paxton. Whether you agree with those specific names or not, I think there are certainly a rise of people who are, boldly. I mean, Hawley the other day actually said he is a Christian nationalist, which is was unheard of 5 years ago. Under the previous neocon establishment, such men would never have been able to rise as they have. And while they are not where they needed to be on abortion and marriage, they are the sort of men who are pulling the party to the right and who actually fight for what they say on the campaign trail. There is the potential to move guys like this to abolish abortion, restore the American way of life, and achieve other important objectives in the way the neocons were never going to do. He says, my main point is that there's no going back. What's behind us is even worse than the train wreck we are watching at the RNC right now. We must look forward, continue to minimize neocons, and influence the new right with abolitionist and Christian nationalist policies. He says, while we should be horrified at the current actions of the RNC, we're talking about this was 2 days ago, and we should righteously rebuke everybody responsible, Trump included, we should be thankful that we're not having this conversation with Jeb Bush. So I wanted to read that entire thread because it is an interesting perspective about how these political alliances have changed. And the biggest point there is we are upset that they've removed it from the platform, but the people that put it in there from the beginning, they never really cared what we thought in the first place. It was all a trick. It was all about you know, duping us into supporting them when they actually, again, I mean, America is just plagued by people, and we have been for decades, that really hate the people that they serve, or that they purport to serve. So that's a fascinating point there. Now, I do want to spend just a little bit of time on the Franklin Graham prayer, because I thought that was an interesting aspect of the convention last night. Franklin Graham takes to the stage, and I think he articulated, I mean, at one point he says in his prayer, look, we've forgotten where our blessings come from, and they all come from you, right? Listen.
It's an honor for me to be asked to pray for Donald Trump this evening. And so what I'd like to do, I'd like us to pray, but I'd like us all to stand as we call upon the name of the God of heaven. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening with grateful hearts. Thank you for saving the life of President Donald J. Trump. In his own words, it was you and you alone who saved him. We pray for the others that were injured on Saturday, for the family who lost their loved one. Put your loving arms around them. Comfort them, and may they sense your presence. We stand before you tonight. We say thank you for the provisions you have given to the United States of America. You have blessed this country more than any country in the world. Sadly, as a nation, we have forgotten who is responsible for all the freedoms, the liberties, and the bounty that we enjoy. It has all come for you.
Sadly, we have forgotten that all of this comes from the Lord. That all of this, all of the things that are good, all the blessings that we're given that we then either take for granted, or sometimes the things that God gives us we even abuse, pervert his blessings. I think this is good. I appreciated this aspect of the prayer of actually essentially confessing one of the biggest problems. And then Franklin Graham, it's the biggest problem. And then Franklin Graham pivots and asks, basically says, look, everything is so screwed up. Things are so screwed up. They're so twisted that there's only one entity. It's only the God in heaven that can actually make straight our crooked paths. There's only one. And the truth of the matter is, it's not hard for God to walk a tight rope. It's not hard at all. And remember that in your own personal life, by the way. It's not hard for God to walk a tight rope. But the sentiment here is, there is no prosperity without the Lord Jesus Christ. None. The prayer continues.
Thank you. This evening, our nation is in trouble. We're divided politically, racially, economically, with millions of people seeking refuge and hope in our dry and thirsty land. You're the only one who can fix the complexity of the problems that we face today. We pray for President Trump that you would give him wisdom, strength, and a clear vision for the future of this nation and the task that is at hand. Continue to protect him from his enemies. I pray that you would surround him with men and women who will give him sound counsel and guidance. We pray for Melania, for Barron, and for all the President Trump's children and grandchildren. We pray for Senator J.D. Vance, his wife Ulsa, along with their young family. We're thankful for his strong stand for defending life. As your word in
Now, I know when that particular part of the prayer, I know when I heard it, I was like, well, I mean, he and Rubio, they recently came out and they're like, yeah, the abortion bill's fine. So again, there's a lot of work to be done to wrestle things. Really, you could say wrestle things back. But again, if you go back to what we were just read with Dusty Devers, this was always a bait and switch, right? again, it's just good to know where the lines are, where the playing field is of where you actually have to, instead of deceiving yourself. Back to this.
Instructs, we also pray for the leaders of our nation, whether they're Republican, Democrat, or Independent. We know that all authority comes from you.
Ooh,
you are
good.
A great God.
All authority comes from God in heaven. Now, that alone, in the minds of people on the left, that alone makes Franklin Graham a Christian nationalist. All authority in heaven is given to Jesus Christ. All authority, everything, this entire planet, this entire world, it belongs to Jesus, and that is not just. I mean, it's every institution. It's obviously the church is Christ's bride, but then you have the civil realm, which also belongs to Jesus Christ.
And we ask that if it be thy will, that you will make America great once again.
I love that last part, too. If it be your will. Maybe it's not his will. Maybe it's not. And maybe there's just too much blood. It's just honest, real talk. Maybe there's too much blood on the ground that's crying out. Maybe that's why our leaders are, you know, engaged in a proxy war with the Mexican drug cartel against the American people. Maybe that's why we have the fentanyl overdoses. Maybe that's why we're being invaded by a third world barbarian horde. That tends to be the kind of the natural way that maybe this built-in mechanism in God's created order, when countries are as wicked as we have been, they get overtaken by another country. Or they get overtaken by a bunch of other guys. They get invaded. They get conquered. I hope that's not the case. I hope that Donald Trump, tilting his head ever so slightly and then even some more, and the bullet missing him the way it did, I hope that that happened so that we are spared what is currently happening and what is going to happen to this country if it's not stopped. I hope that that's the case. I hope that's the reason God wasn't done with President in Exile Donald Trump. He's not really in exile anymore, is he? Doesn't feel like it. Not with the charges being dropped and everything.
And we ask that you'll unite our hearts, bring us together, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And we pray this in the mighty name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen.
Yeah, I mean, so obviously this is way better than Harmeet Dillon praying to Wiragru on Monday. Okay. Now, that's not to say that, we got a little bit of Hinduism here, and now we get a little bit of Christianity here, and so it's all good because we got a little bit of both, because it's equal, right? No. We reject that, okay? We reject that. We reject pluralism because it's really just pagan nationalism. You're either going to be a Christian nation or a pagan nation. And again, there's a lot of work to be done. That being said, I very much appreciated Franklin Graham's prayer here. I thought it was really good on a lot of points. I also appreciated the part where Donald Trump said, let's get to this real quick before we get to some of the stuff, the new breaking details on the shooting. Donald Trump, in his very lengthy speech, some people criticize Trump for being, quite frankly, too boring, the length of the speech and that sort of thing. To me, the whole thing just felt different, I can't really put my finger on it. I can't. Part of me thinks he's got this near-death experience, and so things are different now. Maybe, but I don't know that that's the case. It did really feel, though, like, maybe from a politically strategic standpoint, the bombastic rhetoric calms down because he has a huge audience. People are wanting to hear what he has to say. He's got the bandage on the ear. And so maybe, again, it's part of a political, like, we're going to try to get as many people on board to try to break through this narrative that Donald Trump is this bombastic guy and try to appeal to more voters. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't know. I mean, could be either way. But he did say this, and I thought it was powerful.
Come out. I'm not supposed to be here tonight. Not supposed to be here.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Yeah. Thank you. But I'm not. And I'll tell you, I stand before you in this arena only by the grace of Almighty God. In watching the reports over the last few days, many people say it was a providential moment.
And certainly it was. And certainly it was a providential moment. There's no doubt about that. In fact, all moments are providential moments, if we want to be real about it. But I'm fine with a moment like this, this near-death experience, getting all kinds of people from all different backgrounds saying, wow, that was the providence of God. That was the preservation of God. In sparing Trump's life that day. Again, and we've talked about it all week, I still really can't get over everything that's happened. The country, I really do believe, was safe from a lot more bloodshed if he had been killed that day, if they had been successful. And, of course, we keep using the word they because it's just increasingly difficult to believe that this Thomas Matthew Crooks, like this guy actually did this all by himself. So even if he did pull the trigger, which I know that's the narrative, this guy pulled the trigger. Even if he did pull the trigger, there's the ladder. He was walking around an hour. He was suspicious. They knew he was there. But now we have people saying that there's this shadowy figure on a water tower to deal with. We're going to talk more about that here in just a minute. We're going to take a quick break, kind of restart here. And don't go anywhere. We'll be back here in just a moment. This is the Millstone Report. Thanks so much for being with us. Back in a second. This is getting dangerous. The Biden administration has driven chaos, inflation, staggering amounts of debt, and now the potential for World War III. This could wreak havoc on your savings, investment, and even worse, your IRA or 401k. I bought gold and silver as a way to diversify my money against the stock market, inflation, and other economic threats, no matter who ends up in the White House. That's why I urge you to join me and the thousands of Americans who turn to gold and silver to protect our life savings with Goldco. I did my research and found the only gold company with over 6,000 five-star customer reviews. Goldco treats every customer with white glove service and special care. And today, they're offering you up to 10% instant match in bonus silver with a qualified account. You can't get a better deal than this. Visit paulforgold.com today to learn how you can diversify your savings with gold and silver before it's too late. That's paulforgold.com or call 844-904-GOLD. Welcome back, Bill Summer Report. Happy Friday, everyone. Really appreciate you being with us. Let me tell you about the Bearded Sergeant Coffee Company. Before we go any further, a coffee company that imports coffee beans from around the world, roasts them back home here in the United States, and they donate a portion of the profits of every bag sold to Homes for Our Troops, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that builds and donates specially adaptive custom homes nationwide for severely injured post-9/11 veterans. To enable them to rebuild their lives, at the Bearded Sergeant Coffee Company, they're committed to providing high-quality coffee beans while making a difference in the lives of other people. Costa Rican coffee beans have a bright, pleasant acidity and flavor notes of citrus and tropical fruits. with a higher caffeine content. It's a great cup of coffee for the morning, for breakfast, a good pick-me-up in the middle of the day. Just go to BeardedSergeant.com/Millstone right now. Save 15% when you use promo code Paul. That's BeardedSergeant.com/Millstone, and you will get 15% off when you use promo code Paul. Really appreciate it. Also, Left Wing Will and the Red Pill, the game that laughs at the left's expense. This is Will. He loves to argue without having any facts. And, you know, he believes in climate change and everything else. And he probably thinks that the 2020 election was also the most secure and transparent election of all time. Play the game. Find out. Can you red pill Will? Will get red pilled? Well, you got to go to leftwingwill.com. Buy the game. Play it. Use my name, Paul. Save 15%. Leftwingwill.com. We got a lot to get to. I got to tell you, this stuff over here. Okay, so is Biden going to resign? Is he going to quit? What's he going to do? During the middle of the convention last night, I mean, just everything's inundated. Really, it was yesterday afternoon. Everything is inundated all of a sudden with, hey, Biden's out. He's going to go, sources say, as early as this weekend, maybe Sunday, he's out. The official story was that Biden is going to not resign the presidency, which I'm like, I want him to resign so that the first woman president is appointed. I want that glass ceiling shattered by a technicality. I just think that would be hilarious. No one really elected the woman president, but it's the first woman president. Oh, man. Rats. Anyway, at least that was the report. He's not going to resign, but he's just going to bow out of the race. And then they're going to have a convention in August, and the Democrats between Kamala, probably Gavin Newsom, and a few others, and they're going to jockey and try to figure out how to get this done and how to get it done legally as well. I mean, who knows? I also still, by the way, just on my conspiracy mindset, I wouldn't put it past them to use the 25th Amendment, but wait until October or so, try to delay the election. I won't put that past them. Get it all tied up in court. Get it in front of some corrupt judges. That very well, you know, could be the play here. I don't know. But anyway, that was the story. The story was Biden is out. He's finally done. He's accepted. Nancy Pelosi convinced him. Barack Obama convinced him. That was the story. And then last night, though, we had this. We had Biden's campaign chair, a guy by the name of Cedric Richmond, rebuts claims that Biden is considering getting out of the race.
Can you first talk to us about whether the reporting in the New York Times and in other outlets is correct that President Biden is considering stepping off of the Democratic ticket?
The New York Times reporting is absolutely wrong, and it's been consistently wrong. The president has said that he is running, and it's the end of story. And so he was just out here in Nevada talking to the NAACP. And he is running his campaign along with the vice president.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's right. Or he could be the equivalent of, I don't know, a Japanese soldier on some random island somewhere that people forgotten about. And he just hasn't gotten the memo that the war is over yet. It could be that as well. Hey, but Joel Webbin over at Right Response Ministries, he wants everybody to understand something, that the Lord is, in fact, more merciful than America deserves. And I got to tell you, I think that is very much the case here. Take a look at this. This could have been it, ladies and gentlemen. This could have been what, I mean, look, I know elections and the idea that they are 100% realistic we know that the 2020 election was rigged and everything else. But so even if you're in that camp and you'd still have to put up with this. Like, you'd still have to put up with this as in the messaging and all the propaganda and you have to put up with this. This was a possibility. And this was a timeline. Oh, man, just think how absolutely terrible this presidential election could have been. Yeah, I mean, this could have been absolutely, I mean, that's like a nightmare scenario right there. A nightmare scenario where the glass ceiling, first of all, the glass ceiling is guaranteed to be shattered. That's how they do it, right? Instead of getting the appointment,
And so it's a technicality, and it's always an asterisk in all of American history. Instead, we'll just do the choice architecture, and we'll make sure that the glass ceiling is shattered by electing a woman president, because we're only going to give you women as the choice. And, of course, both of these candidates would mean that World War III would commence and continue. And we don't know that World War III will be canceled if Donald Trump wins. We don't know that. We don't. But at least there's a track record of 4 years of not starting new wars, and he tends to kind of rebuff the John Bolton instincts, the Lindsey Graham instincts. At least that's what I hope. I mean, I want peace, and because of the corrupt Western financial system, the people in control of things now, they are willing to sacrifice the blood of Americans to keep their power, keep their powerful positions, and make them legitimate. Speaking of legitimacy, the story, the shooting, is falling apart once again. This is a video, this is while Trump's going on. Let's see if I can just get this audio in here real quick, and we'll play this for you.
Chart's a couple of months old, and if you want to really see something that said, take a look at what happened.
Look at that. I don't know if you can see that shadowy figure there. There's definitely a shadow that appears, or a figure, and it's grainy.
You want to really chart that?
Let's see.
That chart. That chart's a couple of months old, and if you want to really see something that said, take a look at what happened.
And so there were reports that the water tower, that there was somebody on the water tower. Immediately there were reports that happened, and now we're getting a very less than perfect definition. It's certainly not high definition. And then we have this Right Angle News Network. United States Senator Josh Hawley has stated that whistleblowers have informed him that almost all of Donald Trump's security detail on Saturday in Butler, Pennsylvania, were not even Secret Service agents. The DHS set Trump up by not providing him with proper protection. That much is clear. I'm just going to read a little bit of this to you. I know you can't see it very well on your screen, but it's Hawley to Mayorkas, the traitor. He says, I write to raise concerns brought to me by whistleblowers about your department's stunning failure to protect President Trump on July 13, 2024. Secretary of Homeland Security, you're ultimately responsible for your agency and its components, including the U.S. Secret Service. Whistleblowers who have direct knowledge of the event have approached my office, according to the allegations. The July 13th rally was considered to be a loose security event. For example, detection canines were not used to monitor entry and detect threats in the usual manner. Individuals without proper designations were able to gain access to backstage areas. Department personnel did not appropriately police the security buffer around the podium and were also not stationed at regular intervals around the event's security perimeter. In addition, whistleblower allegations suggest the majority of DHS officials were not, in fact, United States Secret Service agents, but instead drawn from the department's Homeland Security investigations. This is especially concerning given that HSI, Homeland Security Investigation agents, were unfamiliar with standard protocols typically used at these types of events, according to the allegations. As a member of the Senate Homeland Security Governmental Affairs Committee, which is oversight jurisdiction over your department, I will continue to investigate your department's role in the staggering security failures. Homeland Security's role, okay? Homeland Security now playing a role in the security failures, which led to, a narrative that I don't buy. Well, I mean, I buy that they played a role, but, I mean, it's not security failures, okay? This is, failure is an accident. Oh, whoops. Darn, the president got shot. We messed up. Where did we mess up? It was an accident. This is intentional. And at this point, right, and I know this may be a little, considering what they've done to us, it's on the government
And I'm sorry if this was an individual, but no, it is on the government to prove they didn't do this. It just is, because we're not idiots. Now, in other news, we have, let's check this out. So this video I saw this morning, it's an old video back when Vivek Ramaswamy was running for president. So this was in December. This is what he had to say. This is what he had to say about who the real threat was.
It's good to see you guys.
What did you mean on social media when you said that they're not going to, they're going to take Biden out and it's not going to be a Newsom?
This is a longer story. It takes a dark turn, but I think it's, I have a good sense of what's going to happen here.
Okay.
They're leading into a trap. They're not going to let Trump get anywhere near the White House. They're not going to let him.
What about?
So the goal is, have him be the nominee. And by hell or high water, one way or another, they're not going to have him. They're not going to let him.
What about the other two, though?
It's not them.
Who is it?
It's within our own party.
Okay. It's within our own party?
Yes, it is. Okay. Hey, look at the people who voted to keep Trump off the ballot. Who are they putting up? Who are lawsuits to keep him off the ballot? Larry Fink to Reid Hoffman. Who are they propping up? So it's a game. And I'm in this to make sure that that doesn't happen. But they want it to be a two-horse race, eliminate him. Put up actually the Trojan horse within the Republican Party that keeps the war machine humming and keeps the restrictions on speech and the censorship agenda. Get it done. Who needs Democrats when you can get it done through the Republican Party?
Okay.
So you do the math.
Okay.
You do the math on that. That's
okay. So the reason that right there. Okay. So it's within the Republican Party, right? I mean, as soon as the thing happened, right before the RNC, as soon as the attempt assassination happened, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, Nikki Haley. I mean. But considering we have this Austin financial company shorting Donald Trump's Truth Social stock, okay, going to make money off that if he does die. It just is what it is. It's not a clerical error. They're going to say it's a clerical error. That's part of the sloppy cover-up. That same company also shorts Rumble. So what did Vivek say here? He says, well, they're going to continue the war machine going, and then they're going to continue their crackdown on free speech. Well, Rumble is a place for the time being, where you can have honest conversations and an open dialogue and actually have free speech and exchange ideas that the intelligence agencies running our government don't want you to do. They don't want you to say those things. They don't want those ideas getting out there. This video does hit different on this side of the failed assassination attempt of President Donald Trump, for sure. Okay, what else do we have? Huge news this morning. So, again, the RNC goes out on a high note, and then we wake up to ATM machines not working, banks are not working, and this is happening this is happening all over the planet because of CrowdStrike. CrowdStrike is suddenly back in the news. CrowdStrike and the DNC server. Do you remember the phone call that Donald Trump was impeached over? He was impeached over a phone call with Zelensky where he asked about the DNC server. Everybody talks about why, Donald Trump was impeached because, he wanted an investigation into Biden or Hunter Biden. Oh, how dare you? Can't know. I think the real reason Donald Trump was impeached is because he asked Zelensky about CrowdStrike and the DNC server. Which would blow up the entire narrative that the Russians hacked the DNC. Because, if you go over here to real quick, where's Lara Logan? Lara Logan says, remember when they finally released the transcript of the testimony from the head of CrowdStrike and it totally contradicted what they'd been saying publicly about Russia hacking the DNC servers and leaking the info to WikiLeaks? Under oath, he admitted there was no evidence the DNC servers run by his company were ever hacked. That was stunning because they'd been lying for years and targeting anyone who questioned that. The question they hated more than any other was asking if Seth Rich could have been the real source. But back to this, let's see what we got here.
Hi, Tom Connell here. We've got a huge unfolding story in Australia and right around the world, but we can't bring it to you in the normal way. Why? It's affecting us at Sky News, at Foxtel, many customers, many users, many businesses. What's happened is we believe a malware company called CrowdStrike has essentially gone down. If we have a look at our studio here, this is what it looks like on many computers right around the world. Now, technical operators call this the BSOD, the BSOD, the blue screen of death. People are loading, systems are crashing, they're loading again and again and again. It's on a loop. So many companies are unable to work right now, including Sky News. Now, it's affecting users in Australia. We're talking major banks, telcos, media companies, Sky News, obviously. ABC Radio was completely down last time we saw it as well. But it's right around the world. This is an international company. We can see here what it's doing as well to our screens. We've seen users in the US, in Europe, in Asia, New Zealand, right around the world this is happening. So this will be a massive story.
It is a massive story. I've also heard people are wondering, you know, you've got CrowdStrike, and they're wondering if somehow this massive outage, I know this is just a conspiracy, you know, this is just what some people are saying. I mean, this happens right after the RNC and the government story about the assassination attempt completely falling apart by the day. People are wondering if somehow this is not going to help people cover their tracks digitally about who really was involved in the apparent setup to murder President Donald Trump. Now, again, there are people trying to connect those dots. That's all I'm saying, right? There's also a video circulating. We're not going to play it here because I don't know yet of a woman in the crowd who clearly looks suspicious when Trump is shot. Definitely looks to be like she knew the shot was coming. But then at the same time, people are now saying that this is an FBI personnel. But I don't know yet because I can't verify that. But I'm going to try over the weekend if I get the chance. People are also possibly saying, into thin air, is also possibly saying that this is a big lead up to a nationwide blackout, the power grid. This is a possibility we've been warning about here on the Milsom Report since January, our very first show in January of this year, where we were saying, okay, what are they going to do? It's an election year, so are they going to do another COVID? Are they going to do World War III? I don't think I mentioned the assassination of Trump at the time, but I should have. I know other people who are smarter than me did. But I did mention blackout, a massive power outage. It's now in the middle of the summer. You talk about chaos, air conditioning, people not acclimated to that kind of heat. You talk about, you know, a low-level EMP, something like that. Or maybe we know what the World Economic Forum said, the next crisis is going to be a cyber virus, right? It's going to be a cyber virus. It's going to require us to shut everything down. There's all kinds of scenarios out there, but into thin air saying, is Microsoft outage foreshadowing a major blackout? And of course, if it's Microsoft, it's Bill Gates. Okay, this is a Microsoft problem, so Bill Gates is clearly implicated, if not involved. Multiple 911 outages already this past year, loss of NEXRAD weather systems multiple times during tornado season, cell phone / internet hacks have been nationwide. When this major blackout does happen, it will make the Northeast blackout of 2003 look like child's play. Bill Gates is not helping humanity. Quite the opposite. A global IT outage is very convenient right now. Knowing what we know about the Butler Farms rally, do you think it's a coincidence that now our infrastructure is being attacked? This will not be a natural blackout. It will be by design to bring in a certain response. Always have a bug-out plan, food, water, necessities in 3 to 5 days, any given time. You never know what may happen these days. Interesting warning coming. And again, Lara Logan making this CrowdStrike connection with the Seth Rich connection. CrowdStrike now involved, back in the news right after Donald Trump's triumphant say what you want to. It is what it is. This is what it is. His triumphant speech, his triumphant, essentially, like, the guy has literally beaten all of the people in his own party that are, you know, that hate the American people. Like, he's like, it was incredible. I mean, I was talking about this yesterday, but, like, Paul Ryan wasn't at the convention. Mitt Romney wasn't at the convention. Like, you've got all these people that are now, they don't even want to show up because they're not welcome there. Right, Kevin McCarthy was there, and he's not even welcome. He was barely allowed to come. So it's just fascinating that right after that, okay, boom, now we have this giant issue here. Here's another report on it. Jim Ferguson tweeting about this. Let's take a listen.
Airlines, supermarkets, TV news channels, banks around the world are affected by this massive IT outage thought to be linked to Microsoft's business computer systems. Here in the UK, the biggest impacts so far are at the London Stock Exchange, where some systems are down. Sky News is reporting problems with transmission. Ryanair has warned customers to expect long delays at airports. And the train companies, Great Northern Rail and Transpennine Express, are reporting problems. A reporter at The Telegraph says all their PCs in the newspaper's office are down. That's what we know so far in the UK, but it's also causing huge problems in other parts of the world. In the United States, several airlines have grounded flights. They include American Airlines and Delta, but they've not confirmed whether it's directly due to the outage. In Alaska, emergency services are affected. The state troopers there say many 911 call centres are not working correctly across the state. In Australia, it seems to be hard hit. The broadcaster ABC has been affected, as well as supermarkets and banks.
How convenient. It's almost as if we have another global crisis on our hands that everyone's going to have to start paying attention to. Especially if things get, it's almost like it's a, dare I say, a virus? It's almost like it's a virus. In the meantime, Joe Biden, is he going to drop out? We don't know. Who knows? And so now it's time of the show. We got to get. Let's see here. Oh no. We're going to have to do this. So Lou Dobbs passed away. The great Lou Dobbs. This is Lou Dobbs passing away. Didn't expect it. I mean, I have friends that have been on his show. Recently, like in the last month or two. And I know they took this news hard. Dies at 78. So immediately people start, you know, giving tribute. Lou Dobbs was, I mean, I remember Lou Dobbs talking about the southern border when I was in, and I was in college, you know, turn on CNN and it's like, what, who's this guy talking about the border? I mean, just, it was every single night. Lou Dobbs would talk about the border and the invasion of this country, you know, 15, 16, 17, 18 years ago. And I mean, and I know he did it before then, but he really had his finger on the pulse of an issue that was really a life or death national security. America's either going to be a nation it is now, or it's going to be completely something completely different. And Lou Dobbs did that. He brought awareness to this issue that then Trump comes along and as a guy who was on radio at the time, just totally, I knew the border was an issue, but I had no idea how many average Americans were so sick and tired of it. And that's why Trump appealed to so many, because of the border issue. It was a huge issue. Immigration was so much bigger than I ever imagined it was. I was so ignorant of that fact. And now I see, but Lou Dobbs was the pioneer on this issue. He really was. Donald Trump announcing the death of Lou Dobbs on Truth Social. So this is the story that many think got Lou Dobbs fired from Fox Business. He had a show in the aftermath of the 2020 election steal.
Nearly 200,000 completed mail-in ballots were smuggled from New York before they inexplicably disappeared. Those are the charges of Jesse Morgan, a truck driver. He's a subcontractor working for the U.S. Postal Service, and he joins us here tonight, Jesse Morgan, who has signed a sworn affidavit charging that those hundreds of thousands of ballots were taken across state lines. Jesse, I want to say, first of all, I commend your courage for standing up and speaking truth. I know that it's got to be tremendously difficult for you, and I admire your strength in so doing and your concern for your fellow citizens who depend on an electoral process of integrity. Good to have you on the broadcast.
You know, that was enough. That was enough for Fox News to get rid of Lou Dobbs. And yet, Trump last night in his speech referenced the election of 2020 and once again told the American people and the world that the election was rigged and it was stolen. Again, so this narrative they tried to crush, just like they tried to say that, you know, J6 was an insurrection, and now that narrative has been crushed. So like they try to say that Donald Trump, a convicted felon, can't be the nominee. That narrative is now crushed. And now we're in the middle of a global cyber attack. Incredible. Speaking of Lou Dobbs, smash bails, talking about the border, this is a biblical position for Christians to hold. Mass deportations now. There are, you're gonna hear it. You're gonna start hearing it from, you know, big evangelical leaders. They're gonna start saying, "Hey, it's unchristian to want mass deportations." It's not unchristian to want people who've broken the law to be sent back home. It's not unchristian to have a border. Are these people gonna call God a xenophobe for kicking Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden? There's always been nations. There's always been borders. These people are trying to undo the Tower of Babel, and it's sick. It really is. Go forth and multiply. No, I think not. We'll stick around and create a massive globalist city-state. God took care of that at the Tower of Babel. And there are people now that are trying to undo this because they believe that they're more compassionate than God himself in the order that he has created, where it says Christ will inherit the nations. Now, speaking of the nations, this leads us to our last clip. This is a Luther, this is a Credit Protestia, Luther Impastor, okay? Luther Impastor saying that the Great Commission is fake. She says that it was added to the Bible, the Great Commission, and we need to ignore it. That's what she says, that the Great Commission was actually fake. And just take a listen to this. This is incredible.
This prescribed reading is known by the church as the Great Commission. Now, I deliberately did not read the Great Commission, and indeed, I doubt that I will ever again read the Great Commission and publicly claim it as the gospel. Over the course of many years of study, I have come to believe that the so-called Great Commission is anything but the gospel. Indeed, I have come to believe that this particular ending to the gospel according to Matthew may be the source of the systemic racism which permeates not just the church, but also all of the Western cultures and institutions which arose out of what history has dubbed the Holy Roman Empire. Is that Jesus, in all likelihood, never actually said these words. Let me be clear. The so-called Great Commission was added to the gospel by the Christian community sometime around the year 325 to bring this gospel into line with the brand spanking new creed which the church had just written.
And so if the Holy Scriptures are not inerrant and they were added to in the way that she says, we also don't have to worry about what the Scripture says about women being pastors, which they're not supposed to be, or what it says about sodomy. Really what it says about anything, what it says about the resurrection. I mean, you know, the whole thing is a complete nonsense. Millstone for this impastor, this Lutheran impastor, leading children down a path to hell. It's really, really sad. I would add, though, that it's good that they are saying, and they're just kind of being upfront with the fact that they're offended by the Great Commission. Because it flies in the face of their multiculturalism, borderless. Again, they're wanting to undo the Tower of Babel. So when the Great Commission, when Jesus says to go baptize the nations in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Sounds like taking dominion, and sounds a little bit like Christian nationalism. I mean, I think the left would read that verse and say, that's Christian nationalism. You want to go and baptize the nations? Well, if you go and you baptize the nations, you convert the nations. And again, you can't convert an entire nation like with one conversion. You have to baptize and convert individuals. Well, that would mean that eventually you have nations that are populated entirely by Christians, and then you would have Christian nations, and we can't have that. So they're offended by the very concept of Christianity. They're offended by the fact that to this day, God saves sinners and God is moving amongst us. His church is growing. That's all the time we have. Speaking of church, though, this is the time. It's Friday. Happy Friday. I hope everybody out there goes to church on Sunday. Go observe the Lord's Day. Worship the Lord. with his people. If you're not going to church, this is just my friendly encouragement. Go find a church that preaches the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and go worship with other believers. You will be better for it. My name is Paul Harrell. That is all the time that we have for this edition of Milestone Report. I will see you back here on Monday, unless I'm providentially hindered. God bless.
The very foundation of the Christian faith is based